Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready, Freddie.
Steve said he was born ready. All right, give me 1 second here.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and as always, you can call in and ask questions, 323-870-3857, and we'll be here until about 8 o'clock tonight. And tonight, what are you laughing at?
These shows are so short now, it's horrible.
Remember, we used to be here until like 9 or 10 or 9:30, and now it's like, oh, man. We got our train wreck of the week. Let me tell you what, you're not going to want to miss Marcellus Wilder. Babe, you did a show on this earlier this week. The claims that he made about his brother and the Tyson Fury thing, yeah, you can't, I don't know, man. I don't even know what to say to that. Got to be our train wreck of the week.
Of course.
And Billy Joe Saunders pulls out of a fight, the fight to Canelo. So I don't know, man. We got to check it out. Yeah, I understand his logic. We'll talk about it, but I get where he's coming from, and I don't really blame him. Put it that way, I don't really hate his decision, but I don't know. Notorious BC in the chat, this is beautiful. Says, is boxing better than no boxing? It's debatable. Beeb, I gotta be honest, man. It's gonna have to pick up here. I mean, UFC, the cards they're putting on over there have been crazy good. They've been putting on big fights, everything like that. I don't know. I mean, you know, we gave you some time to come in, and hey, you know, June, July, we gave you some time. Now you guys need to start producing, man, because the fights they're putting out, they're not getting anybody excited. I'll put it that way.
Nobody's happy.
Nobody's happy. And the only one putting on fights is Top Rank. You figure, I mean, start throwing some guys out there, man. Before everybody else. But then, I don't know, man. What do they got? DAZN's coming back August 1st with a strong card. I mean, who do they got? They got Ted Cheeseman. And who's he fighting? Yeah, right.
Katie Taylor.
Cheeseman ain't making a card. I don't know. You don't like boxing. You know what I mean? Like, what do you, you know?
When's the Katie Taylor fight?
Who knows? Who's she fighting? I thought she was supposed to fight Serrano, and then they were talking about that fight. That would be a perfect fight to put on now.
She may fight Persoon, though, the girl that I thought beat her.
Yeah, that would be it.
So that's like the consolation prize right there. It's a good fight.
Notorious said Cheeseman's Beeb's favorite fighter. Yeah, Tiny Tim said he's fighting. Yeah, Ted Cheeseman and Sam Eggington.
That's an okay fight.
Yeah, I can't wait for it.
I mean, what I'm trying to say is...
It's not bad.
It'll be competitive.
I like Sam Eggington. Yeah, it'll be competitive.
It'll be competitive. I think Eggington will probably pull it out, though, to be honest.
I think Eggington, man, I don't know, man. Eggington, and Tiny Tim said it'll be a war, and I agree with him, but I think Eggington has seen better days, I think. But it's gonna be a fight, man. I don't know.
Cheeseman's rough around the edges, man. So it'll be a interesting fight.
Yeah, Tiny Tim says he's got Cheeseman. You know what? I gotta agree with him. And hey, Tiny Tim, shout out to you, man. Salute, man. It's midnight in the UK over there. Midnight, and he's up for us. How about that, babe? All right. With that, let's talk about ESPN. Sonny Frederickson, Title Town's own baby. Versus Alex Saucedo. Yeah, this was a rough one, man. This was a real rough one for me.
Yeah.
Alex Saucedo wins a lopsided unanimous decision over Sonny Frederickson. by the scores of 99-91, 98-92, and 100-90. I got to be honest, I couldn't give Fredrickson a round in this fight. This was actually real hard to watch at times, I'll be honest, man. I wouldn't have blamed Fredrickson's corner if they wanted to stop the fight. He just took a beating in there. I mean, every single round. I mean, he looked like a fish out of water with Saucedo, man. Saucedo was just constant pressure every single round. And Fredrickson looked like he just didn't know how to handle it. And I know he's a slick boxer and everything, man, but that guy just put some crazy pressure on him. It's bad because, you know, Beavin, you tell me, man, I don't know. This is the kind of loss that sticks with a fighter, I think. And hopefully Fredrickson can come back from this, but I think this is one of those losses that'll stick with you.
One of those things where when you go in there and nothing you do is working. And when you look at Saucedo, he's definitely he was the epitome of, you know, your best defense is your best offense. You know, your best offense is your best defense, in other words. So it wasn't like he was doing anything. He wasn't even forced to have to really be put on the defensive at all in this fight because he was in the driver's seat from the jump. So one thing that I found that was really working for Saucedo was that lead right hand, because he was throwing it right. As soon as Fredrickson pulled that jab back, he was bringing it down just a tad bit low, and he was coming, and Saucedo would come right over the top with the right hand. And as soon as he landed that right hand, he went boom right down to the body. And so then Fredrickson started bringing his hands down, trying to bring his elbows down to his body, because those body shots were debilitating.
He kept hitting him with at will, and
So he would throw the lead right hand and go right back with the left hook downstairs, and then he would wrap around the right, and then at times he would go down, but he would throw like a 45. So Fredrickson would be like this, you know, anticipating the body shot as soon as he seen the hand go down. And then he'd be like, whoa, kind of just thread the needle right at the guard and hit him. You know, he just threw a wide array of punches. And once he got in there, again, we talk about this, positioning, not doing the same thing that you would do on the outside in the inside. And some of these guys that just don't have an inside game, they just freeze up, you know, and they stand there and they freeze up like a stick. You know, and you can't do that.
You know, do you think, let me ask you a question, all right? So, and you mentioned this for the past couple of weeks now because we've seen this happen. Guys fight the same way on the outside as they do on the inside, and that's definitely a no-no. We all know that.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, is it because they find success in a certain way and they don't want to relearn it? They just stick with that game then, the one that brought them success, rather than learn how to adapt, learn how to fight inside 100, and outside?
100%. They feel so like it's like Wilder with his power.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And Wilder's not a bad boxer. He showed some boxing skills in the Olympics. He showed some boxing skills in amateur. But once you start winning a certain way,
yeah,
and you like winning that way, you become stubborn, you know, and you don't learn anything else. You don't work on anything else.
Yeah. The thing is, man, I mean, they said that Fredrickson was a good boxer, and I like Fredrickson a lot. But, you know, if you're a good boxer, you should be able to beat that style. A good boxer normally beats that pressure style.
And he found himself on the ropes. And you know what it was? He just seemed like he was overwhelmed. And he just couldn't get his bearing about him, you know what I mean? Like, he was out of his element, and he just seemed, like, very uncomfortable. And psychologically, I think that weighed on him, that this guy's in my face. This is going to be a hard fight. I don't want to fight this type of fight.
Yeah.
I want to be able to be on the outside and fight my fight, but this guy's not letting me fight my fight. I don't want to fight his fight. I'm at a loss here. So if you can't fight your fight, and you're not going to be successful fighting his fight, there's got to be a happy medium there. So you gotta do something, as I said this several times. You gotta do something to freeze up the action. You gotta slow the fight down. And once you slow the fight down, you got to grab, you got to hold, you got to lean, push off, boom, 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 grab again, boom, 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 grab again, walk, lean, maneuver, turn. Because if you don't wrap the guy's arms up, you don't lean on the guy, he's going to have nothing to stop him from moving his hands. And I hate repeating myself, but it just go back and watch that Mosley-Margarito fight. Because everybody thought Margarito was going to get in Mosley's ass. And every time Margarito got close, Mosley grabbed him and he like walked him back and turned him. And he would turn him one way and push him and then line him up with like this. Line him up with the right hand and boom, boom, mid-range. So if you can't deal with the guy inside, work some mid-range shots on him. You know?
Something.
Do something.
And, I mean, let me tell you what, and you know this from experience as well as I do, like when you're in there and somebody grabs you or you grab somebody, you see them get frustrated. You see them get frustrated immediately because they want to let their hands go. They want it. They're used to letting those hands go. And when somebody's grabbing you and pawing you and leaning on you and turning you around, or it's frustrating for him. It really is.
Muhammad Ali was the genius at it because he knew he couldn't beat Joe Frazier on the inside. He knew he couldn't beat Ken Norton on the inside. Grab him, pull their head down, you know, constantly like put his face, like when they got close, he would stiff arm them. He would like kind of palm their face and stuff, that little stuff that would just knock them off balance and break their rhythm. You got to break the rhythm of a guy that comes in like that. You got to try to break his rhythm. And again, it's easier said than done. I mean, Cesaro is a handful. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah,
but Fredrickson just froze. He just, you know,
and it was no crowd. It wasn't. You can't blame it on the crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just.
I think it was Cesaro that made him look bad. I think it was Cesaro. He wasn't ready for what he was.
He wasn't prepared to fight that pace of a fight.
No, not at all. That's not his fight. Not his fight.
And he just didn't have the mental fortitude to slow it down. He just couldn't gather himself, you know. And it's not easy. I'm not, you know, saying that he didn't try, but he just got hard-headed. He wanted to fight that fight from the outside, and it just wasn't going to work.
No.
And that's just what it is. And then Bradley's like, oh, you're gonna... Bradley's answered everything.
Bradley's answered everything.
Gotta let your hands go. Okay.
You imagine what kind of trainer he would be.
Just let your hands go. Just throw punches no matter what.
Throw punches.
No matter where you are, just throw punches. Not, even if you're not in position, just throw punches. Be reckless. He just oversimplifies everything. Oh, just let your hands go. Just let your hands go. Yeah. Did you let your hands go in the third Pacquiao fight? No, because you couldn't, because he was on you like white on rice. no disrespect. It was just the way the fight was.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
I'm not, you know, no disrespect to him, but I'm just saying. What would you have done if freaking Alice just said, oh, you got just let your hands go, just let your hands go, just let your hands go? What kind of instructions is that? Just let your hands go.
He's terrible. He sucks. And he sucks as a commentator. I never did like him. I never liked him as a fighter. I thought he got, you know, I don't know.
I like him. I like him as a fighter, and I interviewed him a few times. I like the guy. I just think he's a horrible commentator.
He's a terrible commentator. He's terrible. You know, so like I said, man, it was hard to watch at times, and I think that his corner, listen, man, I mean, they probably should have stepped in at some point here. Having him finish that fight and just take that beating. And,
that's,
you know, what was
that'll wear on him psychologically.
It 100% will, because he was thoroughly beaten in there. There was no good things that came out of there. And what has Fredrickson got, like 17? How many fights does Fredrickson have?
It's like 18, right?
I want to 17 or 18 fights.
Yeah, like 18
maybe
fights.
18 fights is probably his 19th fight or something along those lines.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, Salcedo's 33-1.
Yeah.
He's been around the block, man. Yeah, you got to question, hey, you know, who lined this up for you? You know what I mean? Who lined this up? And, you know, I see this a lot. We both see this a lot. We both watch these prospects come up, and they get rushed into fights that they're not ready for.
But let me ask you this. Under the circumstances, is anybody in a position to really turn down fights?
Well, you got a good point there.
That's
you
the
really do. Guys like those, like Fred Vercin and Saucedo, no, they're in zero position to turn down fights.
Amanda Serrano may turn down this fight with Katie Taylor, and she had something lined up, but now Eddie Hearn's like, no, you signed a contract. You're not doing anything unless you're fighting us next.
Yeah, I mean, so, what are you going to do? I mean, and Serrano, what else do you got to do? I mean, for real, what else do you have to do?
Supposedly,
I know you're not making crazy jack doing fighting. Isn't she in MMA to try to make ends meet or something like that? I mean, come on.
She's doing everything, man.
Right.
I saw her doing stand-up the other night at freaking the Knicks Comedy Stop. I mean,
she saw her Instagram modeling the other day. You know what I mean? It was like...
She was at the gym the other day, giving boxer size classes. I mean, she's doing what she's got to do. Go, girl. You go, girl.
She was in front of the house selling lemonade the other day. You know what I mean? It's like.
But I guess Hearn was saying he gave her an advance and everything, and she's trying to, like, I don't know, man. I'd love to hear her side of the story, man.
I don't need to hear her side of the story. I don't want to hear her side of the story. Fight. I just want to see a fight. Just fight, man. Come on.
I guess
you're big enough to call the shots? For real?
I guess Katie Taylor actually took a pay cut, too, to make the fight happen. She wanted to take a pay cut. She's willing to take a pay cut.
She just wants to fight, Jack. That's it.
I love Katie Taylor.
I do, too. My kind of girl. She wants to fight. That's it. She wants to fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just like everything about it, like the way she carries herself. She's like just a very upbeat type person. She's very positive.
She's very smitten. Very smitten.
I like her. I just like her. I think she's.
You mean
cool.
You like her, or you like her?
A little bit of both, I think. I could. I wouldn't mind taking her out to
for some crumpets and stuff. Or
I wouldn't mind taking it to the pewter pot.
The pewter pot? What's the pewter pot?
The restaurant.
So sweet. What? What's the matter with you?
I don't mind taking it to the copper door.
All right, take it out for, what is it, toad in the hole or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
New Bridge
Cafe. Bangers and mash,
Bangers and mash, yep.
Fish and chips.
What's that place they have? Nando's. That place they have that in the UK. It's called Nando's. They have the chicken place.
Yeah.
Take it to Nando's.
Take it to Nando's. That's right. They got. Did you ever try their sauce?
Nando's.
Yeah.
I've never had anything from them. Why?
They got it. They've got it. They package it, and it's like at grocery stores now.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Go to like it's like around the hot sauce or the I don't know. Like, sauce section. I don't know. Whatever it is.
Is it? So it's good.
It's all right. Yeah. It's not the greatest. It's. I don't know. It's all right to me. I don't know. But a lot of people. I tell you what. A lot of people like it. So.
Why? If it's not the greatest, why are you telling me to try it then?
Because maybe you'll like it. Maybe Katie Taylor will like it. Maybe you guys can marinate on that. I don't know.
Oh God.
All right. Jose Pedraza versus Mikel Lapierre. Pedraza wins a unanimous decision over Mikel Lapierre by the scores of 188, 99-89, and 99-89. It was very competitive, as you can hear from the scores. Let me tell you something, man. Lapierre was very game, but Pedraza was just too much. This was definitely a squash fight. He expected to win this, and he did. Too much experience, too much power. The two traded knockdowns in the fifth, but after the knockdown, they looked at the instant replay and said that Pedraza got, they called it a slip.
And he tripped.
Yeah, they said he tripped, so no knockdown for Lapierre, so that even put the fight further out of reach for him. After the fight, Pedraza said he would like to fight any champion. I think he's earned it, man. I wouldn't mind seeing Pedraza in there with another shot, but I don't know.
It'll be tough for him.
Yeah, I think so too, man.
It'll be tough for him.
Nacho said he was a legit class against Lapierre. He was. I'm listening, man. He did exactly what he was supposed to do, and he outclassed that guy.
Well, and then Lapierre, he knew how to survive too.
Yeah, he was a good fighter. He was definitely game.
He can't take that away. He knew how to hang in there. He knew how to position his hands where he wasn't catching all the shots flush.
Right.
He's partially blocking a lot of them. Looked like Joshua Quadi in there a little bit with the earmuffs.
Ah, oh, you got to be kidding me. Anthony Adelia. Oh, come on. What kind of comment is that? Anthony Adelia says he couldn't care less about female boxing unless they start fighting topless.
Oh, my.
What a shame.
Beep.
That's something Robbie would say.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, Beeb.
I was going to find a way to take a shot at Robbie.
You always dump on him. What's the matter?
That's horrible.
I don't know. Listen, I don't agree with Anthony Adelia, but, if they're going to do what they're going to do, it.
Robbie,
I can't stop that.
You know? Robbie text you yet? Tell him me to shut up. Tell Beeb I would never say that, Eric.
I would never say that. That's funny, mate. I saw that whole Katie Taylor thing, Serrano, this week. And Canelo, if it was Canelo doing that, Ryan Garcia or somebody who's garnering a lot of money, all right, whatever, you know. But Amanda Serrano, she's a great boxer, got all the titles. I get it. Seven times. I get it. But listen, man, it is what it is, man. You're not going to bring in that much money. You're not. So that fight, let me tell you what, that fight, I'll put it this way, that fight could never be on pay-per-view. You couldn't headline a pay-per-view.
No.
Nope. There you go. Gucci Kid wants to see Christina Hammer topless.
That's my girl.
It is. It is, Beeb. Hey, yeah, you disparaging Beeb's lady, man. You
my
guys got to show some respect here.
Talk about my girl like that.
Yeah. Yeah. What about that? And Beeb asked her out on the air and everything. Went out with her a couple times. Hey, I mean, it is what it is.
Beeb and her are tight, man.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard it was Beeb, man.
We hang out on occasion.
You what?
We hang out on occasion.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know how it is.
Right now, we can only FaceTime because of this COVID stuff.
This whole COVID thing's messing everything up for everybody. You know what I mean?
It's killing me. My game's like, you know. Did 10 pull-ups today, though. I'm getting my strength back, baby.
I like it. I like
the
it. You've been a lot of forearm strength, you know?
Yeah, the abs are coming back from vacation, too, man. I mean, this COVID thing.
Blessing in disguise, you know?
They've been trying to take me out, man. This is a scam to try to get me out of shape. It's not going to work.
It's a Democratic scam to try to get you out of shape.
Taking shots at the Beeb, man. They're trying to slow my game down here.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. And you know what? I don't appreciate it.
Trying to make me lose my Tiger's blood. I don't realize my Tiger's blood's in full effect right now.
Beeb's got Adonis DNA. Are you kidding me? Come on. Doesn't work, baby. All right, let's hit the upcoming fights here. What's going on? What's going on with the upcoming fights, Beeb? Huh. Let's take a look at this. July 7th, Tuesday. Beeb. Jose Zepeda versus Kendo Castaneda, 10 rounds junior welterweights. Andy Vences versus Luis Alberto Lopez, 10 rounds junior lightweights. On Thursday, from Las Vegas, Carlos Takam versus Jerry Foster, 10 rounds heavyweights. Interestingly enough, this should have been Big Baby Miller. So it is what it is. On the co-main there, Carlos Castro versus Cesar Juarez, 10 rounds junior featherweights. I gotta be honest, man. I gotta be completely honest. I'm not interested in any of these fights this week.
It's tough. Let me ask you this: do these fights kind of remind you of the Tuesday night fight days back on USA Network? Remember those?
No, because they had champions on there. They had like big time fights on there at times. These guys are doing nothing, man.
Remember the old ESPN Friday night fights?
That's
or
what it reminds me of. The old ESPN Friday night fights.
Because when ESPN had the PBC on it, those fights were pretty decent. You
really had real good.
They had Lamont Peterson versus Danny Garcia. That was a great fight. You know, but now they're kind of reverting back to the old days where they had, like, you know, the squash matches.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's what it's like. I mean, that's completely what it's like.
Let's cross our fingers and just hope that next month's going to be better than this. Maybe this is just the beginning right now, and they're trying to just do what they can under the circumstances, and hopefully things will pick up in a couple of weeks.
They're going to have to pick up. I mean,
they're gonna have
you
to
guys
do something.
Are getting killed. Let me tell you this. Did you hear the news today? And I know some of you guys don't like when we talk UFC, but it is what it is. So the UFC just signed this weekend, for this weekend, their big fight at Fight Island or whatever. You know, Dana White's got that Fight Island thing going on.
Yeah.
He's got Fight Island coming up, right? On, this weekend, I guess the 11th or something like that, Saturday.
Yeah.
Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman are fighting.
Wow.
Right? That's their headliner.
Wow. It's a good one.
It's a good one. And it's pay-per-view and whatever. I mean, I would pay for that. I'm going to pay for that.
I'm going to buy that.
Something.
I think, like, I'll buy that. I like Masvidal. Masvidal is a very entertaining fighter.
Usman is too, man. It's going to be a really, really good fight.
He'll make Usman fight too. He's not going to, he's not going to allow Usman to make this a technical affair.
Right. But that's the thing. I mean, those are the fights they're putting on, and these are the fights that boxing is putting on. It's a no-brainer right now. I mean, come on, man. It's a no-brainer. Listen,
you got to take your hat off to Dana White, bro.
And he's losing a truckload of money right now, I bet. I bet you any money they are. But they're trying to stay relevant.
Everyone's losing money right now.
Everybody is. Every sport. Every sport is. But, I mean, it's one of those things, man. You just have to... if you want it to survive and you want it to do something, I mean, you got to put on better stuff than what you're doing, man.
And people could say what they want, but you got to commend Dana White for not adjusting the pay scale at all.
Yeah.
He's paying them what they were making before, not adjusting the pay at all. Whereas in boxing, Bob had said, some of these guys may have to take pay cuts. UFC, they're not doing that, so.
Yeah, I don't know that they're really taking pay cuts over there. I mean, I don't know what they're doing, but I mean, guys are fighting.
Dana said they're not. He said he hasn't cut anyone's pay. He hasn't laid anyone off. So.
Yeah, and everybody criticizes him about fighter pay. Look at the stuff he's doing, though. You know what I mean? He pays them better than any other organization.
Yeah.
So what's the deal, I don't know. All right, I think this is Kevin from Chicago, 312, you're live.
Fight Doctor's in the house on Rick James status, as
Fight
always.
Doctor.
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's happening, man?
Fight Doctor, I miss
Not
you, bro.
Lot.
How's your fourth?
Oh, beautiful.
Fry up any hamburgers on the grill? Any hamburgers on the grill? What'd you get? Steak tips? What was the deal?
Well, I got a most excellent homemade vegan peach cobbler. That's what I got.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Wow.
That sounds good.
Little carb action.
Vegan, son.
Yeah, it was all
vegan.
Chain.
I was eating filet mignon.
So, yeah,
yesterday,
I'm
baby.
So
my
the
fly
doctor is actually
filet.
Vegan. Yes, I am.
All right, okay. We accept that. Hey, different strokes for different folks. Yeah, we accept that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's it's how I keep the blood pressure under control. How I keep the sleep apnea away, So
I got you.
It is, man.
It's all
healthy
about
diet.
Quality of life.
That's for sure.
Why don't you kick some knowledge to Eric here, baby? All right.
So, well, gentlemen, I really don't have much for you guys this week. Just one quick topic, which is all the excuses coming out of Team Wilder. It's very disappointing.
There we go.
With this latest excuse with the whole dent in the side of his head business. It's just crazy, disappointing, and I have no words. I have no words, and I'll just leave you guys with that.
All right, Fight Doctor.
No problem.
All right, man. Thanks for calling, man. He's right, though. And let's talk about that, because that's our train wreck of the week. So let's get in. We might as well get into it here. Train wreck of the week, of course, Marcellus Wilder, Deontay's brother, says that Deontay Wilder was a victim. Marcellus Wilder has speculated that, quote, blunt objects were used in Fury's gloves to increase the damage he inflicted with his punches. This is a direct quote from Marcellus Wilder. Now, I'm going to read this, and, this is his words, not mine. Quote, it was discovered by doctors that my brother has a dent the side of his head due to a blunt object striking his head in his last fight. No glove or fist was able to cause this damage, according to the autopsy, Wilder's brother said. Listen, I don't know, you know, maybe he didn't, maybe public school failed him. But do you know an autopsy is what they do on people that are deceased? Not people that are alive.
But I thought.
You have to be deceased in order to have an autopsy, you moron.
Ugh.
I think his brain was rattled from that fourth round knockout. I really do.
Oh, my God.
And he says they have a dead. Let me, okay, let's just think about this logically. All right, can we think about this logically for a minute? All right. JD's is in Tyson Fury's dressing room, along with the commission, watching his hands get wrapped, his gloves fit up. He's allowed to check the gloves. He's allowed to check the gloves. He's watching his hands get wrapped. And there was nothing in there but fists. Somebody from the commission is always there. They sign the glove, tape it up, sign it, and then you're ready to go. Right? And there's always somebody from the other camp, commission, whatever. They're always there. So in order for your thing to happen, then what, JD's let this happen? The commission, they unwrapped the tape, put a brass knuckle on his hands, wrapped it back up, forged the commission signature, and then let him go back out there. With all those cameras around, by the way, all those cameras around, yeah? What are you, stupid? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. There's a dent in the side of it. What do you mean there's a dent in the side of his head? Get out of here. What's the matter with you? What do you mean there's a dent in the side of your brother's head? There's a dent in your head.
Let me ask you a question. Should Wilder just come out and like start refuting some of this stuff? Shouldn't he just? He's got to come out and speak up about some of this stuff that's coming out.
You know what he should have? You know what he should have done? I lost to Tyson Fury. He was a better man that night, but I guarantee in the third fight I'm going to be bigger, stronger, and better, and I'm going to take my title back. That's all
now,
he had to say.
Here's another question to ask you. Do you think that he's sending these people out there on his behalf to propagate these things?
Yes, I do.
Like surrogate almost?
Why would his brother talk out of turn like that? Honestly.
You know?
Why would his brother do that? Why would his brother just come out and give this – why would his brother come out and embarrass himself and embarrass Wilder by coming out there and saying some nonsense?
So do you think, though, that he may be thinking to himself that this is going to attract attention to the third fight? It's going to help hype up the third fight?
No.
But it's basically at his expense, though.
It's completely at his expense.
It makes him look really bad.
Listen, man, it makes him look bad. It makes, you know, it makes Wilder look bad. It makes Marcellus's brother look bad. They both look like fools. Wilder didn't need any help after that excuse that he gave about, you know, the 40-pound costume when he wears a 40-pound training vest all the time.
But I'm starting to think, though, honestly, that maybe Wilder doesn't care if this attention's bad or good. He just wants to use this to hype up the third fight, maybe. Because why else would he just sit back and just not say anything about some of this rubbish that's coming out about him?
I mean, he's definitely behind it. I don't know what his motive is behind it. You know, I really don't. I don't know what his motive is behind it. It's just, you sound ridiculous.
100%, he sounds horrible.
I'm like, are you? When I heard this, I was like, and I know you did a video on it earlier. I'm like, what?
Did he
really say this? I'm like, of all the things, I mean, like, really, man, of all the things that he came out and said, you know, I mean, he gave the most ridiculous excuses. Excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse.
Horrible, huh?
And he's still doing it.
He won't stop.
He won't say he's a loser, son. And then, you know, Errol Spence, let me tell you what, Errol Spence goes in on everybody. He was like, you know, I don't know why we're rooting for Tyson Fury over Wilder. That's why. That's why. Is there? I mean, what do you mean? Why are we rooting for Tyson Fury over Wilder? Are you serious? Because he can't lose. What? You can't take a loss? You know what I mean? I don't understand.
You know what I'm starting to worry about now?
Probably his mental health.
No, but think of this really. And again, you know, this is the problem that I have. I'm a conspiracy theorist, and it's a character flaw. I know that.
It's a character flaw.
I
love when you send me text at like 3 a.m. talking about Dr. Fauci.
I'll be staying up late at night thinking of some of this shit, and I'll be like,
I gotta look it up.
But here's the thing. With all that's going on right now in the country, right, I'm a little concerned that this may turn into a race thing, and there could be some almost like a kind of like a riot type thing going on after the fight or something
100%.
Like that. 100%. Because of the tension that's going on, and you know, no disrespect to anybody, but I could see Wilder feeding into it a little bit, you know.
Absolutely.
Because you know what, and again, you know, I'm not saying that what's going on is wrong. Like, I understand what's going on, and I understand and I empathize with the situation. Don't get me wrong. I don't condone obviously the riots and stuff, but I know why people are upset.
Sure.
And I'm not saying they shouldn't be upset. I just hope that this doesn't carry over into this fight, because if Wilder has another one of those till this day moments, and then people feed into that,
try to rally behind it. Yep.
And then on fight night, if he loses, and then they just start rioting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a little worried about that, to be honest with you. And I hope it doesn't turn into something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, man, that's the climate of the United States right now. We're being divided right into two. I mean, we really are. I mean, we're being divided by race. That's what's going on. And I really think that. I mean, if you want to look at conspiracy theories, look what's being said by the top leaders here. And you know who I mean by top leaders. Tell me. I mean, hey, you know, I mean, you hear what Trump, they're saying just as well as I do, man.
Trump's doing a horrible job diffusing this. He really is.
All he's doing is like adding fuel to the fire. I mean,
really is.
With his speech the other day, he did the same thing.
He's taking a gasoline can and he's pouring it right on the friggin' wood, and he's got a match in his other hand.
Yeah, that's all it is, man. It's awful. All right, let's go to 508. This is Georgie.
Hey, yo, what's happening, people? What's going on with that little energy?
Hello, Georgie.
You guys doing?
Happy 4th of July.
Listen, you just get up today, decided to hate on Wilder, the former champ of the world.
I think
the pride of the USA.
The pride of the USA.
Papa.
Is this what the USA's become? Where we can't take a loss? Is that what we become now?
Bro, listen, we got to rewind this shit because you guys got to get educated. We got to start like, until this day, yo, who was the interview? Who gave the interview? Who was it, huh? Radio Raheem?
Radio Raheem.
Was interviewing him, right?
Let a nigga burn
so you guys can decipher this bitch. Because you got way behind
my fault,
class.
Baby.
Pay attention.
Right,
not gonna last you forever. Listen, Radio Raheem. This man, he's an outstanding character on YouTube. No type of controversy about race whatsoever. Everybody love him. Most credible motherfucker out there on YouTube. Hands down. And he came out with this question. He came out with this question, people. From everybody, he came out with that question. You're going to tell me that Radio Raheem came out with that question? That says no all the way from the fucking top? That's what you guys believe? That's what you guys think? You're mistaken.
Is he insinuating that Raheem didn't come up with the question?
No,
who fed him the question? The LDBC?
Yeah, who fed him the question? Because
think,
I'm pretty sure he's like an independent guy.
Who you think fed him the question? Who could possibly fit in the question, Beavs? Pay attention.
Russians?
I cannot be putting all this shit together for you. Pay attention. Let me move on to the gloves. Follow me here. Yeah. Shut the fuck up for once. I'm not going to last you forever. Listen. Check this out.
Luminati.
The gloves. Check this out. The gloves, right? They're talking about the gloves. Costume.
Correct.
This, that, the third, you name it. Everything out there. Everything. Every single trick out there. This man probably got cheated. One of the, in the raw possibility, maybe 1% somewhere in a turn of the universe, he did get cheated. But to the other people out there who believe that Wilder got cheated, I'm going to tell you something. The same way that you ignore me, a man like me, if you look for guys on boxing, there are videos out there on YouTube, everywhere. Mad videos on the internet about guys. Wilder guy is in top five search. Get that in your brain. He's on top five. He's on the first fucking video compilation of taking a of fucking Maliska taking a dive against him. He's there on video for many years for your motherfuckers to see it. But you didn't see it. You don't see it. The same way you don't see it, I don't see it. So fucking if we got fucking talking cheated, I don't care. Same way you guys didn't care. All type of mafia running this shit, writing history left and right, and you guys coming here with this bullshit again. Another shit. Yeah, he got robbed, so what? Sick of it. Everybody out there, support the channel. Thumbs up. I love you. See you next week.
Thank you, Georgie.
Thank you, Georgie, for enlightening us. And it's time to get back to your solid records. All right. What was he saying? I don't know. He just like
basically saying that.
Did somebody feed Radio Raheem the question? Is that what he was saying?
Yeah, he's saying that it was a setup question, I guess. I don't know.
From who?
I didn't get the script, so I don't know. I don't know how the whole thing went down.
I don't know how it went down.
I'm just trying to piece it together. I'm just trying to piece it together the best I can.
Oh my goodness, man.
I needed an interpreter for half that call, but I did the best I could with it.
Oh my goodness. Dave, only on this show. Only on this show. All right, so let me ask you a question here. So speaking of Wilder and Fury 3,
yeah.
It looks like on December 19th that's going to happen. Now, they're saying it's going to be held at Raiders Stadium. According to both camps, the fight could go down at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, which is, of course, the new home of the Raiders on December 19th. Dave, do you think this fight, I mean, do you think this fight goes down in front of a live crowd?
Well, what I was saying was it's probably going to be at maybe 50% capacity in the stadium. Because normally I think for a football game, they're saying that it'll hold 65,000. Was it 65,000 people, I think?
Something crazy. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's more than that. That stadium's huge.
Yeah, so you'd think if it's for boxing, there's going to be even more seats available. So if they scale it to 50%, and maybe they get 35,000, 40,000, maybe they get like 30,000 people in there, and they have it like every other seat instead of, people can't sit next to each other, so they have it like every other seat, then still a pretty decent sized crowd. And you know the tickets are going to be off the hook. They're going to be mad expensive. The tickets for the last fight were crazy. $17 million live gate last time out. So if they're going to have that many seats available for this fight and the tickets are going to be pretty expensive, they could do a decent sized gate here. This could be a very successful event.
It should be. Could be. Should be. We'll see.
I think Fury did a great job, and Wilder did a great job too of building himself up. But I think Fury did a great job, seeing as how he's from the UK and he came over here and he just took the United States by storm. He was everywhere.
Yeah.
He's doing every interview possible. He's on every show possible, and the WWE thing and all that. So he really ingratiated himself to the American public, and I think he did a phenomenal job. And this is something I think Joshua should have been doing. But to his credit, he's got his thing going over in the UK. Whatever, that's fine.
Big star in the UK. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I think Tyson Fury put himself in a position where he can make himself big on a global level, and he did a good job last year with endorsements as well too. So, I think this next fight could be really. I think this third fight could be very big. I think it could do a million.
Walker Smith in the chat said he thought it was 80,000. I'm assuming the number of seats there. Like I said, man, it would not shock me. That place is gigantic.
Yeah, I think I was reading it was 65 for a football game. So
for boxing, it might be a lot more. Yeah.
Boxing, it's going to be more because obviously, there's going to be a lot more seats available because the football field is 100 yards. The boxing ring is not that big, so.
Walker Smith Jr., correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't that Sugar Ray Robinson's name?
That was his name.
Correct. That was his real name, right? Walker Smith.
That was his real name, yeah.
That's what I thought. All right. Wood in the chat said, so is Wilder going to speak soon and discuss some paperwork that details everything? I don't know. He seems more interested in giving excuses, to be honest with you. But I don't know. I mean, I think I would be surprised because everything is so up in the air right now. I mean, we don't know where we're going to be in December. This is a tough. This is a real tough one. I imagine as a promoter, it's got to be just completely maddening to try to put this particular fight together. You have both sides and everything like that, but you go out there and to not know if you're going to get a live gate or not. And if you can't get a live gate, is the fight still going to happen? Do we put these guys in training camp? Do we put these guys? I don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, and I don't know the promoters do either, but I mean, yeah, could you guarantee the fighters the price, the money and everything like that? If neither fighter's going to take a pay cut, I mean, they're not taking no pay cuts, not for a fight of this magnitude.
I think they'll be fine. We had to really hope for the good thing is Las Vegas is pretty lax with the restrictions.
Yeah.
So they're pretty set in their ways where they're not gonna shut down again. They're saying no matter what. So even if there's a second wave, they're not gonna shut down.
They're not going anywhere. Yeah.
But the big thing too is what I'm starting to see. Everyone's so enamored with the numbers, but no one's really looking at the hospitalizations and the deaths. I was talking to my sister. And she's a nurse, and I was talking to a couple other nurses that I know in the area. But there's very little hospitalizations right now.
Well, you guys are on the way down because you guys are doing the right thing.
In Massachusetts.
Right. Now, back in Ohio, my sister's also a doctor.
Yeah.
And she's saying that the numbers are really ticking up in the emergency room or in the intensive care and in the hospitals and everything it's going like way out there.
I'll tell you why. Because it's still running its course. Now, everyone's saying about, New York did a great job. There's no more deaths. Yeah, because everyone died. All the vulnerable people died already. It ran its course. Pretty much, I think it ran its course in Massachusetts, too.
Well, the thing is, like the younger people who get this now, because I believe it's a lot of younger people that have gotten this because of the protests and everything like that, and I think
sure.
things getting open.
Sure.
But when they go back and they give it to their parents or they give it to their neighbors or they give it to their, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to see those numbers go up. I think, it takes a while for those numbers to match up, you know. Not that I'm hoping. I hope the numbers stay the way they are, you know, for people that pass away from this anyway, that they are starting to go down.
Well, but now when you do the numbers, the death rate in the United States compared to the amount of cases, it's a 0.5% now.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is pretty much what I anticipated. I figured that you know, when you looked at the total deaths compared to the amount of cases, I thought that the death rate was going to be very, very low.
Yeah, 42,000 today.
Died
42,000,
or?
No, 234 died, 42,000 today posted. But the thing about it is that on Sundays and weekends, typically you don't see a lot of posting on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some states don't post or whatever.
We start phase three tomorrow, so let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Are you guys in, what phase are you guys in?
I don't know. Where stuff's open, but there now it's starting to tick back up
lot. Are your gyms open?
I don't know if they are or not, to be honest with you. I think they might be, but I don't know.
Are your bars open?
Yeah. Yeah, the bars are open. Yeah.
So you may be in phase three already.
Yeah. But then they have another phase over here where they're saying, like, if you get to phase four, they could lock things back down. It's like a different set of phase. I don't know.
I don't know if I can take another lockdown, man. I just can't. I can't do it, man.
It's tough. It's tough, man.
I can't do it, man. I have to move to Saudi Arabia or something. I can't take it anymore.
Saudi. I tell you what, I moved to Abu Dhabi to catch that fight this weekend.
Yeah.
All right, so speaking of fights here, Billy Joe Saunders pulled out of the Canelo fight. Now, check this out. This is interesting to me. So Saunders was reportedly set to earn $8 million for the title fight with Canelo in May, and apparently wasn't all that impressed by the figures being proposed for the Canelo fight in September. Saunders said, quote, if they think they're going to cut my money and cut me short, that's not going to happen. Considering he's getting $35 million, they come to me for a pay cut in September. They want to get short notice of a pay cut. Why not him take a pay cut? I got to be honest. He was scheduled to make $8 million for that fight, okay?
Yeah.
Canelo's making $35 million. I don't need, and again, man, I don't know. I can only roll a bit what Billy Joe Saunders says. But if that's the case, and you want Saunders to take a pay cut, and you're paying the other guy $35 million,
yeah,
for a fight
fair.
That'll have no crowd in it, dude.
That's not
fair. Come on,
that's not that's
Stop
not
it.
Fair to that's
Stop
not fair
it.
To him. It's not fair to him.
No,
not fair to him at all.
You know, I mean, if they came to both of them and said, "Let's take a pay cut," I mean, even still, he's making such a wide margin, $35 million, and they contracted him. That's the crazy part. They contracted Canelo. They're gonna have to start paying him. You know what I mean? They got to start paying him for some crazy amount of money.
Yeah, man.
Got to start paying him.
This dude's got a nice little package for himself.
Yeah, right?
You know?
It's crazy. Crazy. Do you agree with Saunders, though?
100% I agree with Saunders. 100%. Because if the other guy's not taking a cut, why should I?
Right. Why would I take a cut? You know, he's making $35 million. What
you
know? I mean, what can you not buy with $30 million or $25 million?
Jacob's got like over $10 million to fight Canelo.
Yeah.
Okay. So why should Saunders get less than Jacobs?
Saunders is a dangerous fight too.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous fight for Canelo.
You know, Saunders.
He can fight.
He earned his reputation, man. He earned his stripes.
He can fight, man.
He shouldn't be disrespected like this.
No question. He can definitely fight. You know, he's a top guy. Definitely fight.
I mean, Walker Smith says that Saunders seems to think he's the A-side. No, he just wants the $8 million he was promised.
Why wouldn't you?
Obviously, you're not the A-side if the other guy's getting 35 and you're getting 8. But now, if you want to, you know, play.
What do you think they cut? What do you think? And just speculation on our part, just complete speculation. I would imagine they probably try to cut him down to 5.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah, I imagine they probably try to cut him down to five.
Hell with that, bro.
No. I take a $3 million pay cut. The other guy's getting $35 million. I'm getting five.
And then you got to look at all the taxes these guys got to pay and the fee, and all the money they got to pay to other people and stuff.
They're getting about one-third of their purse, right? Roughly. I mean, about one-third. You figure taxes.
I would say they're getting 40% of it. 40% of that purse.
You get taxes, and then you got to pay all your people, your trainers, nutritionists, whatever. You got to pay all of them, and then you got what's left over. So $5 million seems like a lot. And don't get me wrong, $5 million is a lot. By the time it's all said and done, what is he clearing, about $2.5 million? Maybe?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I got to respond to this comment. Does Billy J. Saunders get $8 million for any other fight, though? No, but he's not fighting any other fight. He's fighting Canelo. He's fighting the cash cow.
Right.
So you get paid. You get paid for the fight. You know, I hate it when people use that excuse. So if I was, I'm going to use this example that I make all the time. If I was a manager of a company, and then all of a sudden I get promoted to CEO, and I want to get paid what the CEO makes, because the job is different, right?
Right.
So the boss can't turn around and say to me, "Well, I'm going to offer you this. It's not what we pay all the other CEOs. It's significantly less than we pay all the other CEOs, but it's a lot more than you got before, so you should be happy with that." No, pay me what the job is worth.
Right.
Give me the commensurate pay of what the job is.
Right. That's it.
So that argument of, what happened before and blah, 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 no, because this is it. You have to look at each situation differently. You're fighting the cash cow. He's getting $35 million. You were supposed to get $8 million. So you're already giving up purse parity to this guy significantly. Why even make it more significant than it already is?
Right. Right.
You can't. I hate when people use that excuse. Well, he never made that amount of work. Okay, because he was never in this position before.
Right.
He never fought a guy with the name of Canelo Alvarez. So how could he have made this type of money? Because the none of the other events generated this amount of revenue that this event would generate. The bigger fight. So you can't compare that.
Walker Smith said either take the $8 million or move on.
They're not giving him the $8 million. They want to give him less than the $8 million. That's the argument. He was supposed to get $8 million. Now he's saying they're trying to cut his pay. That's the argument. He's not complaining about the $8 million.
He would have took the $8 million, it sounds
like. He wanted the $8 million. That's what he agreed to take. Now they're saying they're going to cut his pay. Not fair. Not fair.
I agree. I agree with him on this, man. I really do.
I don't agree with him having to take less than the $8 million. I'm just not on board with that.
No, I'm not either. Especially, again, when the other guy's making $35 million and reportedly, according to him, again, that they didn't go to him and say, hey, you take a pay cut as well. Walker Smith said, without the cash cow, he doesn't touch a payday. Again, it's
okay.
100%.
But he is touching the cash cow.
Right. And it's like you said, measure it with your job. This is the job. Then I should get paid to do the job, correct?
It's not the same. This is not – you can't compare this fight to any of his other fights because he's never guy on the level in terms of name value of Canelo.
They try to do this with Pacquiao and Mayweather. Mayweather tried to get a flat fee. They try to do this with Canelo and Golovkin. De La Hoya says, I'm going to give him $10 million. He can take it or leave it. That didn't happen. You know what I mean?
And then people are trying to use that argument with Wilder versus Joshua. And again, it doesn't matter what he made before.
Right.
You divide the pot up. You take the pot and you divide it up the way it should be divided up.
That's it.
And everyone was making fun of Wilder, but look how much money he made in these two Fury fights. Did very well for himself. So he didn't need that DAZN deal, obviously.
HBO, getting back to the boxing game here, it says that HBO is developing a 6-part series on former heavyweight champion Jack Johnson. The series is going to be called Unruly. Phoebe, I always like what HBO does. I really do. I was really sad when they got out of the boxing game. I really was, because they always
really
put on good fights.
They have good production. They have very good production.
Really good. I thought their production was better than Showtime's.
100%. No question about it.
I thought it was just better fights, you know, at times. There at the end when they had their last fights or whatever, the last fights were not very good. But, you know, if they got back in the game,
they're going to come back. Mark my words, they're coming back.
Yeah, because, you know, they dipped their toe in the water a little bit, and it was nothing for them at that time. I mean, but if they were to dip their toe in the water again.
You watch what happens.
They
a
get
lot
involved
of these,
with the PBC. They get involved with Top Rank. They get involved. I mean, they'll put on shows.
They may get these DAZN fighters back.
Yeah,
they may get some of these DAZN fighters back.
Yeah, that's possible.
I'm curious to see where DAZN's going to be in a couple of years.
Yeah, I will be too. Some sad news to report. Alfred Cote, you remember him?
Yeah.
Alfred Cote passed away this week from an undisclosed illness. He was only 52, man. And I don't know what happened or anything like that. But, yeah, he was only 52, the former WBO bantamweight champion and former Olympian from Africa. He was from Ghana. And I tell you what, man, they have a lot of champions from Ghana. I don't know what it is about that place. It makes you tough. I don't know. But it's kind of the equivalence to Brownsville in the United States, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And finally, some good news, some very good news. Roberto Duran, we reported he was had come down with the COVID-19. It turns out he's all better now, or at least he's recovering. He's released from the hospital this week after being there for 7 days with COVID-19. So that's great news. That is great news, man.
Happy to hear it, brother.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Awesome.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.
Yeah. Boxing's in trouble, man.